Right.
Edition of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Right out of the gate, check out Senator John Barrasso, Republican from Wyoming, who had this to say about the president's budget.
Somebody asked me if this budget was dead on arrival, and I said, no, no, it's not dead on arrival, it's debt on arrival.
Yep, dead on arrival, or avoidance, mockery, a joke, irresponsible, name the word, and it was used to describe what the president is trying to deliver, at least from the Republican side of the aisle. Oh, there was a lot of tension in Washington, but isn't there always? You have to pick a team, you play on that team, then you get the script. So Obama hits them with a $3.8 trillion budget for 2013. And boy, that's really what the day was coming outside of the Capitol. It was all about the budget. Yet there are a million other things that have to be tied up. It's like we have Band-Aids on everything. You know, we're out of Band-Aids at this point. So in this $3 trillion in deficit cuts over 10 years mostly, $1.5 trillion comes out of new taxes. Guess who's going to pay for those? $800 billion. Did you think the 1%? $800 billion in savings counted from the end of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Blah, blah, blah. Some of that money would be pumped back into the economy. The budget proposes $350 billion in short-term Band-Aid stimulus spending, including funds for new transportation projects and to help local governments hire teachers. So we're sticking with the same theme. Teachers, infrastructure, money into local economies. And when our economy, is what the president is saying, is growing, he says it's growing, because we're creating jobs at a faster clip, we need to do what we can in our power to keep this recovery on track. Raise your hand right now, America, if you think that jobs are growing at a fast clip. I have my infrared glasses on, and I notice there aren't too many hands up in the air. Now, I invite everybody to call and sound off on this. I don't care what your stripes are. I say that all the time. Right of right, left of left, disappointed, somewhere in between, independent, looking for a new party, looking for a new country. Whatever, you can sound off on the budget if you want to, because I think this is more, this budget is more broad strokes, and here's what we're going to do on the campaign trail, because he knows this budget is never going to fly. The budget calls for a tax overhaul that would require the wealthy to pay at least 30% of their income in taxes. Here we go with the Buffett rule. And that was, remember, the major theme in the State of the Union address. So this is sticking with the script, sticking with the theme. That's it. Most of the package is absolutely dead on arrival because they're not going to get the votes. The people on the Hill are not going to vote for any of this. I mean, look, the president was able to convince them to extend a payroll tax cut at the end of December for a couple of months. Now they're stuck in trying to figure out what they're going to do with this. So, you know, the jobs bill replaced the debt ceiling as the main topic of the political day, and the approval numbers started to climb a little bit. But I think that now we're going to get back to the business of name-calling and class warfare. There's just a little bit of a truce for a very teeny-weeny time. So, but I'm going to give you a quote from the acting Obama budget director, a guy named Jeff Zients. Did you ever hear of his name before? No. Now you know. He told the reporters who were buzzing about that the new budget actually trims deficits by $5 trillion if the budget cuts in the August debt deal and the 2011 appropriations bill are included. Boy, you really have to you have to have cliff notes when you're paying attention to all these numbers that are flying out of Washington. I think it's a trick. That's what they do. They try to trick us. If we make the numbers big and dance around before their eyes, they won't remember what we said. You know, the president hasn't submitted a budget, did you know this, since he was first elected. Now he's talking about fiscal responsibility and getting this done, and he's going to blame the Republicans. It's the same old song and dance. All right, I'm going to switch gears here quickly at the top and talk about Whitney Houston for a minute, because everybody wants to talk about Whitney Houston. You know, Be My Baby Tonight, pick a song, whatever song it is that you like of hers, but you know her name, you have at least heard her name. They're now saying, admitting to this in L.A., because they're very tight-lipped about finding her body in the Beverly Hills Hilton Hotel, but she was underwater. When she was found, the one thing that's been confirmed is that she was underwater, so she must have drowned. I'm assuming they did toxicology tests on Houston, and in 6 to 8 weeks we'll know the official cause. She was unconscious when she was pulled from the bathtub. She had prescription drugs in her room. So, you know, do the math. We're trying to figure out what happened. 48 years old. She'd struggled for years with coke, marijuana, pills. She was erratic. Very sad, sad end to a talented woman's life. In fact, Elton John was one of the many who sung her praises.
She could sing Porgy and Bess. She could sing gospel. She could sing I Will Always Love You and Make You Cry. And she was the most beautiful woman I think I've ever seen. She was incredible. You forget, with all the troubles that she went through, how brilliant, how incredibly brilliant this woman was.
I would have to concur. For all the troubles, all the nonsense, all the headlines that she made for other things, you can't deny that she had great pipes, and she definitely knew how to sing a ballad in her day. Absolutely. We have other fish to fry on this show coming up around the bend. We'll talk a little bit more about Whitney Houston, prescription drugs and alcohol, how they don't mix, and what the problems are across this country with it, and how, sadly, it seems to be getting worse. Also, scary stuff. Iran is actually, supposedly reports say, preparing suicide bomb boats in the Gulf. What does that mean for the rest of the world? It means that get ready. You thought we weren't going to have World War III? You might think again about that. Also, coming up on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about at the tail end of the show. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's happening with the Republicans. It's kind of a lull for them right now, meaning they're not on stage debating for yet the 25th time. That'll happen on February 22nd. And there are no primaries or caucuses. That kicks back up as things shift to Arizona. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then the big day is March 6th. That's Super Tuesday. And why is it the big day? It's the big day because 10 states are doing primaries. It means there's a lot of delegates on the table. And it's a race to ultimately get the numbers. You have to have the delegates to be chosen as the nominee for the Republican race to be president once you get to Tampa. So everybody and their brother has their fingers crossed. It's going to be eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Who knows? We could have a brokered convention. Right now, Rick Santorum is rising in the polls. Mitt Romney's still there. Rick Santorum thinks it's a two-person race. But don't tell that to Ron Paul fans. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. Your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
Only 70-plus days until the world's greatest auction gets underway in professional sports. Bet you can't guess what it is. The answer's next with me, the sports princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
NFL Draft is one of the most anticipated events in the offseason. Teams set up war rooms, trade up and down in the draft order, hoping to secure the best player from the college ranks. There are 7 rounds and 256 picks. It lasts 3 days this year. It starts on April 26th. The first draft was held in 1936 at the Ritz in Philly. 90 players were on the list. The first chosen was Jay Berwanger. The Eagles couldn't sign the University of Chicago Heisman Trophy winner, so they traded him to the Bears. He still passed, wanting to remain an amateur. One thing hasn't changed since the 30s. The team with the worst record the previous year gets to draft first, unless they trade it away. This year, when the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, opens things up at Radio City Music Hall in New York, the Colts go first after a dismal 2-14 season. Indianapolis is expected to pick Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. The death of Whitney Houston, what happened, especially even though the L.A. coroner is being a little bit vague and saying it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before the official cause of death. We know that she was taking a lot of prescription drugs, and then there was alcohol perhaps involved, and just a very sad, sad story and a sad commentary, really, on where we are right now in the U.S. A lot of people mixing potent prescription drugs together, and not even actually just forget the alcohol part. They don't even know how those drugs are going to react, and they haven't consulted anyone, including the pharmacist. So who better to join us to talk about this than, you know, they've covered this a zillion times, a lot of stories in Men's Health Magazine, and one of the editors from Men's Health Magazine, Greg Stebbin. Greg, thanks for popping on ATN.
It's great to be here. You know, this is really, it's a tragedy for a lot of reasons. I mean, clearly, it's a tragedy for Whitney Houston's family, her friends, the music industry. She's a young woman. But what most people don't realize is these kinds of deaths are happening all the time in people that are way too early to die. They're getting addicted to prescription meds, often in cases they're painkillers. There's a whole industry in some states that are has just been created to feed people painkillers. They become easily addicted, and then in many cases they mix them with alcohol, and then the number of people who are way too young to die are dying from the same kind of overdose that it looks like Whitney Houston may have died of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's what I said at the top. A lot of times people don't even know how any of these drugs, absolutely, they don't know how the mixing the meds, as you were saying, with the alcohol, what it can do to you. And it's just happening more and more and more. And certainly with the celebrity deaths, the first thing I thought of was Heath Ledger, and then Michael Jackson naturally comes to mind, and Whitney Houston. I wonder if this is just the beginning of this sad string of celebrities.
Well, let me put this into perspective here. We actually did a story about this kind of drug overdose a year ago. It was exactly a year ago. And I remember the first time I read this article, it chilled my heart. I'm going to read you some statistics from that article. In 18 states, the number of deaths caused by drugs now exceeds the number of motor vehicle deaths.
Kidding.
That's staggering.
Yes.
That's staggering. By 2004, prescription and over-the-counter drugs were responsible for far more years of lost potential life than all accidents from falls, firearms, drownings, fires, and non-medication poisonings combined. There are more and more people taking meds, either don't understand the danger of mixing them or actually getting addicted to them or mixing them with other meds or alcohol, and the number of people who are dying is tremendous. And then there's a whole other side of this, Kate, that's equally scary. There's certain states, like we talk about in this article, Ohio and Florida, where there are small towns where, for instance, there's a town in Ohio that has 80,000 people. The population is 80,000 people. And that town has 9 clinics dedicated to pain relief, 9 pain clinics. And they're finding now that these kind of clinics are leading people to take these kinds of painkillers that lead to addiction. The people get hooked. They go out and start looking for stronger and stronger drugs. These are not people that you would have ever looked at and thought this is someone who would be a drug addict. These are people like you and I, and they're just now trying to fight the addiction in addition to the pain. And in many cases, it's leading to one or two different things. Death, as we've seen in the case of Whitney Houston. But here's the other shocker. Huge surges in local crime. Why? They're stealing stuff to feed their drug addict. And these are good, law-abiding people, or previously law-abiding people, who fell into a cycle of drug addiction that probably started as something like fighting pain and had no idea, were completely naive about how powerful these drugs or doctors were that they were given.
Wow, how scary is that to think? I mean, just what you just said, the statistics in that one town in Ohio, 9 pain clinics, so then you do the math and you think the people going in and out of there, and then what happens as a result. Jeez, and you know what, Greg, what's the answer to this problem? You know, there's the $1 million question, or the $10 million question. What's the answer? Because I think people are just need to, they're just trying to stop the pain, or they're placating themselves or whatever. How do you break that cycle?
I think there's a lot of forces that are going to make it very hard to break the cycle.
Yep.
One is, and I don't mean to point fingers, but I think it's pretty obvious to see, painkillers and medication is a huge business. And how do you break a cycle where you have the pharmaceutical industry that spends, I don't know, billions of dollars on marketing and advertising? And I don't mean to say they're bad, but we are taking more and more drugs that are more and more dangerous, and they're easier and easier to get. And that is a recipe for disaster. And as we see in the story, I mean, we're seeing the disaster unfold in front of us. There are towns like this one in Ohio where the population they open the paper every day and look at the opiates and expect to see people there who have died at 20 or 30 or 40, and usually the death is listed as died in their sleep, but they now know they didn't die of natural causes in their sleep. They died of some kind of addiction. And this could be your brother, your cousin, your nephew. You know, think if that was someone who was close to you, how tragic that would be. And you know what? You may actually know someone this young who's passed away. I'm talking to everybody now. And the family just didn't say that's what really happened. And I think that's part of the other problem, is there's a lot of shame in this, and people don't talk about what's really happening so that it can be more out in the open. It's way too many young people to be dying this way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, because it's the prescribing the pills, it's the vicious circle of it, it's the money that's to be made there, and ultimately, before you know it, you're hooked on it. I mean, how many people have I talked to, professionals, just even, and I've said this a couple of times now in this interview, you just forget the alcohol, just addicted to all kinds of different painkillers, and it gets worse. They can't get off of it, then they get onto something else, and it is just like any other, almost like any other illegal drug. They end up, I've known two people, Greg, professional people, very, very successful, but, you know, both of them, what they had in common is they were in car accidents and needed painkillers, got so addicted to them, they had to go and dry out. I mean, they had to go to a clinic to just get off of them.
That's exactly right. And the other thing is, these are not people who were heavy drinkers necessarily, or did play with recreational drugs. So I think that is a factor as well. It's even more foreign because they don't think of themselves as someone who recreationally experiments with these things. Or they're drinkers, but they don't think of themselves as drug takers because they're not. They're just taking pills that their doctors gave them. This is a real wake-up call, what happened to Whitney Houston. We have seen her go from, I think, a fairly innocent young woman in the early days of her career, and watched what happened to her life. And in a sense, her story is extreme, but in another sense, her story is the same story that is playing out in many families and many towns around the country. And let's hope people are talking more about this, and we're getting better at identifying a problem in themselves or in friends and family, so that these kinds of deaths can go down instead of continuing to increase.
Yeah, I so agree with you. Greg Stebbin, one of the editors of Men's Health Magazine. Check it out. Thanks so much for coming on ATN.
It's great to be here, Kate.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. This is a great woman that we interviewed before, and I really like the conversation we had with Julia Schopik. She wrote a book called Honest Medicine, and she wrote the book for, I think, a lot of different reasons, but she became a patient advocate. And one of the reasons why is because she cared for her husband. Back in 1990, her husband, Tim Fisher, was diagnosed with a serious cancerous brain tumor. And I think some of us, this is news that some of you have had to deal with in your life and have had to figure out what you're going to do. So for the first 5 years after he was actually diagnosed, they followed what the doctors were telling him to do and the recommendations, which I can imagine that's what all of us think. He had surgery, underwent the chemo and the radiation, all the stuff that you normally hear about, and all of the treatments. But then there were side effects and complications, and that's when really Julia got wise to all of this, and that's a lot of what this book is about. Julia, thanks for coming back on the show with us.
And thanks for inviting me, Kate. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, and I think it's so powerful to tell that story about your husband, because I'd have to say, you know what, I would think the same thing. I'm married. If that happened with my husband, I'd be, you know, I'd go through those stages of grief, and I've got to be the one. I've got to help. What am I going to do? And I'm sure you think doctor knows best, and I would do the same thing. And then you realize that something wasn't right, that it wasn't working, right?
I did, because he started, Kate, after about, as you said, the five-year mark, he just started to develop every complication that you can get from the treatment, not from the tumor. And, for instance, he even had a radiation-caused stroke. I had never known that you could get a stroke from radiation to the head, but you can. Huh. And he had several seizures, and he had, oh, my goodness, the skin kept giving a problem, and he got water on the brain. I can't even. I just, at a certain point, the five-year mark is about it, I decided I got to do something. I've got to find some kinds of treatments that are going to make his life not only prolonged, because I loved him, but more pleasant and healthier. So that's when I started researching, and we found a nutritionist whose area, believe it or not, was cancer and brain tumors. Her name is Dr. Jean Wallace. And I started, you know, really watching his diet and giving him a lot of supplements, and he outlived his prognosis by, are you ready for this, 12 years. He had really been given 3 years by the doctors, and he lived for 15. So we really were, you know, I was delighted. And the doctors, unfortunately, weren't even interested in the things that I had found for him. And, you know, selfishly, I guess that was okay with me, because at least they weren't stopping me, you know, from doing good things for him.
Yeah.
But then at around the, in 2001, he had a recurrence of his brain, of his tumor. And this is at the time that I got the real aha moment that made me really want to put the germ in my head for writing a book. What happened was that his suture line, he had the surgery for the recurrence, and the suture line would not heal. And the doctors kept doing what they know how to do, which was to keep operating on this poor man's head to try to find two pieces of skin that would heal. And the more they did this, the worse he got. He had walked into the surgery just joking and, you know, in very good shape. And by the time they were through with him after 8 surgeries to try to find two pieces of skin that would heal, he was brain damaged, he was paralyzed, and he was incontinent. Mm. And at that point, a doctor friend that I was just talking with on behalf of a client, you know, I do public relations as well, and this doctor said, have you heard of Silverlawn? And I said, Silver, who, what, you know? And he told me about this wonderful product, which, by the way, I've never had any financial ties with. I just sing its praises because it saved my husband's life.
Right.
It is pieces of material that are impregnated with silver. And the doctors gave us permission, gave me permission to put it on his head. He was in the hospital, of course. And within 48 hours, his skin started to heal. To really close up. Overnight, you could tell that it was healing. And this is when I just learned a lot about the medical profession. Do you think the doctors were happy to see this?
No.
Not really.
No.
They actually went out of their way to tell me that they thought that it was not what I found. And they had the accent on what you found, you know, me, that worked. And I said, well, what do you think it was? And this doctor who said that to me said, I think it was the vancomycin kicking in. And vancomycin is the antibiotic, the IV antibiotic. And I said, but Bill, he's been on this antibiotic, this vancomycin, for 6 weeks. And this doctor said, well, vanco is like that. It kicks in.
Mm.
I was amazed. And my head started to swim, and I started to think there must be other treatments out there that work that the doctors just don't accept because they aren't told about them by either a pharmaceutical company or a fellow doctor, and that can really help to save lives like the Silverlawn did for my husband. I hope I didn't abbreviate that story too much. But.
No. And I think it's very powerful, and people are listening to this. This is why look to other alternatives, dig deeper. This is what Julia did. And, you know, this is the question that comes up, and you pretty much answered it right there at the tail end. Why don't these types of treatments, why don't they do more clinical trials on them, for goodness sake? Because there's a success story, and I guarantee there are others. And the answer is it's not part of the cycle of the pharmaceutical companies and the money. It's big money that's involved in medicine. Don't you think that this is part of the problem?
I think it's a huge part of the problem. And part of the problem, too, Kate, is that the treatment – I decided to write about treatments, as the subtitle of my book, Honest Medicine, says, that are effective, time-tested, inexpensive. I kind of put the emphasis on inexpensive and non-toxic, and that work for life-threatening disease, because the problem here is that clinical trials are done mostly by drug companies, and the drug companies have to feel they will get a return on their investment. And for instance, one of the treatments that I write about, low-dose naltrexone, for autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, lupus, Crohn's, It costs $25 to $40 maximum a month. No drug company that we know of would want to spend the billions of dollars a clinical trial takes cost to check this drug out in a big way. And if they did, guess what would happen? The price would go up to, say, $1,000 to $2,000 a month from $25 to $40. That would be tragic in itself.
Yeah, no kidding. So depressing. And see, I know people are listening to this. This is powerful information, powerful stuff. And they're going to write me emails. They're going to send me emails and they're going to say, as happened before, how do they find out about these treatments? How can they get these treatments if they're in the middle of this or they're trying to uncover different things for their loved one or for themselves?
Well, one of the things would be to read my book, obviously, Honest Medicine. You can get it on Amazon. You can just go to honestmedicine.com, which is my website, my blog.
Sure.
And there are links to Amazon, and there are links to Barnes & Noble to buy my book. And also it's available on Kindle and Nook. But the main thing is that these treatments have been around that I write about, and I can tell you briefly about some if you want me to. But they've been around for years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think you're right. I think that what somebody would have to do, because it would take us forever to go through all the treatments. But if they get your book, you do such an effective job of that. You tell about these different treatments and the things that you can do and the things that you can look at. And you've got a website set up too that has the link to every resource, right?
Honestmedicine.com. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of trademarking Honest Medicine. That's me.
You need to do that, definitely. You need to blog about even more of these experiences. Absolutely. In writing this book, what ultimately, for everybody that's listening, what do you hope happens, that they poke a little further and just don't take a doctor at his word?
Yeah, what I hope happens is, you know how when you go to the doctor, Kate, and you trust the doctor, and then the treatments in many cases work. I'm not talking about these cases, but in many cases they don't work. And often the doctor will say, that's all that there is. Don't believe it. Because the rest of that sentence should be, and if they would say this, I would be so grateful, that these are the only treatments that I know about. And with the internet out there, and with books like mine and lots of other books, believe me, you can find treatments. I mean, the treatments that I write about work for a wide variety of illnesses and diseases, including autoimmune diseases. One of them that I write about works for end-stage liver disease. It has kept a lot of people from having liver transplants. And, of course, one of my favorites, the ketogenic diet, is fantastic for childhood epilepsy and even for adult epilepsy. And your doctor may not, will not, probably won't tell you about these treatments. They are not big money makers for big pharma. And I get excited, you know, because as you pointed out, people wrote to you or called you, how can I find out about these treatments and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
This is my God's work, because I almost get teary-eyed when I say that people have written to me at julia@honestmedicine.com, and they ask me, how can we find a doctor that will prescribe low-dose naltrexone for autoimmune diseases? How can we find a hospital that will administer the ketogenic diet? My child has epilepsy. I need the ketogenic diet. And this is just so wonderful that I feel that I can help people. And this is wonderful.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. I agree, Julia. We're almost out of time. I just want to remind everyone, she's got incredible information in here. It's exactly what Julia is saying. Go and pick up a copy of Honest Medicine. Really, you owe it to yourself to have this, so you've got a reference. Julia Shopik, thanks so much for coming on our show again.
And Kate, thank you so much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Of America tonight. A couple of quick things. One, what's going on with Iran? Now there are reports that the U.S. from the U.S. Navy that Iran is preparing a suicide bomb, a couple of boats in the Gulf. Not good news if you think of what's happening with the Strait of Hormuz. And naturally, it's the major lane, the major player in the thoroughfares, I guess the best way to put it, waterways, of ships going in and out and transporting what? Can we all say it at one time? Oil, of course. And especially for any of the U.S. allies, because this is where they're getting the stuff more than really even the U.S. Of course, we get so much, 25% from Canada right now. So Iran building up the naval forces in the Gulf is a warning, and they're talking about these suicide attacks. So the U.S. Navy will probably have to prevent it from by blocking the Strait of Hormuz is what I would assume. They've made these threats in a couple of last couple of weeks to disrupt shipping in the Gulf. That's not new. We knew that. So what happens? What's the retaliation if the oil trade is shut down by sanctions, or if this whole nuclear program thing, the tug of war, comes under attack? They have submarines. They've got other kinds of craft that they can use. That's what the vice admiral saying, told a bunch of reporters that. They've got small boats. We've seen those attacks before. And, you know, they've got a large warhead on some of those small boats if they wanted to. And that could be used as a suicide deal. Remember the coal. So in thinking of what happened there, they've got a big mine inventory, too. And with the rockets, they've got the long rockets, the short, medium, you know, you name it. Let's just say they've got a lot of toys in their toy chest. They've got plenty of things that they could level anybody with, anybody they consider to be a threat, which would mean the U.S. and everybody else except for Russia and China. So there's been contact between the U.S. Navy and the Iranian ships in the Gulf in the past, but, you know, now there's a big problem. There's a big standoff, and there's a lot of tension. So this is one of those situations where you have to decide when you're the admiral out there, you have all eyes on deck watching what's happening. And there's a real, very real possibility, apparently. We keep hearing this. You know, first it was the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, saying that Israel could attack Iran by the spring. Now we have the reports of, the Iranian ships are getting ready for the possibility of a suicide attack. Man, I'm telling you, this is more than a scary game of battleship. It is. I think something finally comes to a head here. Not that I'm excited about that, because do I want to see World War III? Do I want to see our guys in the middle of some kind of a fight in the Gulf? And the answer is not really. But at some juncture, you have to say to yourself, listen, they're kicking sand in our face, and now they're serious. Now they're kicking sand in our face, but they got an Uzi in their back pocket, and they might pull it out and just shoot us. So it's kill or be killed at this point, if all of this rhetoric really adds up to something. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Okay.
How are you?
I see Israel's moving their warships around, getting in position, so that must be coming up, cooking or something.
Yeah, that's what my point was. So here's a question, Rick. I'll just have cut to the chase and have you answer it. What do you think if you've got this maneuvering going on, and now you have serious reports that Iran has boats they can jimmy rig in a second with a warhead to just be a suicide mission? You know, really, what do you do? Do you ultimately open fire? Do you decide to jump in completely with Israel? Do you make the first move? That's what Israel's saying. We got to make the first move.
Yeah, I think Israel's getting ready to do something, because they're positioning the warships around and getting ready for something. I don't know why, but it's hard to say. But it's going to be a mess over there. And I think the United States is going to be right in the middle of it.
I do, too.
Whether it be or not.
I do, too. There's not going to be any conversation. You know, Ron Paul runs on, well, we could have some diplomacy, we could have some talk with Iran, but they really don't want talk. Ahmadinejad is full of it. He doesn't want talk. He wants to come to the U.S. and rip everyone to shreds when he goes to see goes by the hole in the ground, what was left after 9/11, and then go speak at Columbia University. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, he's just falling around. Get that bomb made. That's all he's trying to do.
That's what, exactly. Just to try to distract. Just try to do whatever he can. And then ultimately, once he has the bomb, he's got the big threat. Because, listen, it can hit us. It can hit Israel. I think it would just be aimed at Israel.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to try to wipe them out.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think they're just going to go for Israel, and then you could open up a war if that's what they wanted to do. And then ultimately the U.S. is either completely all on board, and I can't imagine the U.S. wouldn't be. If Israel flat out was attacked, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think we're going to be in it all some way, somehow. Or,
yep.
If we're not, we're going to get blamed for it anyway, so.
Yeah, so we might as well be in it.
Yeah. You see, General Electric's going to bring back their appliance factories back to Louisville, Kentucky.
I did see that.
Yeah. So, I know. Worse we get in the bad economy, everybody's wanting to come back in America. I can't figure that out yet.
Listen, here's the thing. The more people that come back, the more breaks that we can give them or figure out ways to make it equitable, not where, you know, they're robbing us blind, but where they can come back, the tax rate is correct, then I say that's better. Because, yes, we have to have some export-import, of course. That's what we want, export-import going both ways. But we tilted it so much in the opposite direction, it hurt us.
Well, they're finding out that cheap labor ain't that great now.
Yep.
Get cheap labor, you get cheap parts.
That's right.
I want that, so I got to come back to America with good parts, good labor. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's just another thing to pick you up with, so you have a happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, Rick. Happy Valentine's Day. That is tomorrow. He's a good reminder of that. Don't forget your Valentine. It probably would have been good for some people to be a little bit early in that. I mean, it's pretty easy, guys. Flowers, candy, the card even. I think most women, especially if you don't remember stuff like that, if you can just remind yourself, put it in your iPhone, get a card. A card works. Anything works. Just some kind of acknowledgement. Although when you think of Valentine's Day, it didn't initially start out that way, but is it too manufactured? You know, is it too contrived? You have to do it. It's the day of love. You must respond to Valentine's Day, or, I don't know, maybe it's a good thing because there's not enough of it, so maybe everybody needs a kick in the pants once in a while to say, whoa, we know you're busy and you're tied up with everything, but guess what, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend, whatever, that you might want to pay closer attention to. So maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not such a bad thing after all. And coming up on our next show, we're going to talk sadly about the fact that the divorce rate really spikes in and around Valentine's Day, something like 40%. Just saw a story on that, 40% more people with claims for a divorce planting their flag in the divorce court saying it's time. And I guess that's because you're after the holidays, the other holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then the beginning of the year, and somebody else is in the wing sometimes, and that makes matters kind of be spurred on because of the fact that you've got this Valentine's Day thing happening and you want to get out of the old relationship and into the new one. Regardless, if you're in a good one, please remember Valentine's Day. It's the best way to hedge your bet, let's say.